The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol as we look ahead to a big game this weekend in the Premier League. It's Liverpool taking on Manchester City, first against second in the Premier League table. Just a point separating them, but look how tight it is with the teams from second through to sixth, all level on 13 points. Anyway, City are favourites with the odds makers in this one, even though Liverpool are at home and even though the fans are going to be there too at Anfield. Nader Manua joining us as well to discuss this game. But Stevie, I'll start with you. Are you surprised that City are favourites?
Yes. Liverpool are top of the Premier League. Liverpool are top of their group in Europe. City are second in Premier League and City are second in their group in Europe. What? I can't figure out why they would be favourites. Liverpool are at home as well. Had this game been at City, then maybe I could have understood it. But it doesn't make any sense. You know, yes, I think the sides are very close. It's tough to separate them because you could talk all day about the qualities of both of them and the reasons why they would both win. I'm surprised they're favourites.
So, Man City who romped the league last year, yeah?
Yep.
Man City who you've got winning the league this year in your prediction? Have you?
What's that got to do with what's happened at the start of this year?
I'm just suggesting.
Man City, that's what I said. You could sit here and make an argument for both sides why they should win. But for the reasons I pointed out, I don't understand why City are favourites.
I mean, the 4-1 win last season might go in their favour.
But it doesn't affect this game. You know, if you look at what's happened from the start of this season, that surely is how you should be basing your opinion on what's going to happen in this game. Listen, if Man City had beat Liverpool 10-0 last year, does that mean that they should be favourites?
Well, Klopp said the momentum will not matter, that the momentum that they have will not matter against City.
Well, because he's trying to deflect from trying to make City favourites. He's more than happy to push that City may be favourites. Because it's dead easy. If you're a coach, you go, by the way, every single person, bookmaker, you name it, has written you off and said that City are favourites. That's just another way of motivating his team.
I mean, Liverpool have started the season decent, but I would hardly say losing three goals and a drop Brentford is carrying great momentum. I think the only thing for me from City's perspective is look, they played well with the ball in Paris, but lost the game, and they, you know, had some chances, but they lacked a clinical edge to the game, and they lost a couple of goals, some poor marking. But they did come off a dominating game at Stamford Bridge the week before, or a few days before. But the big issue is in this team selection, and we don't know how he's going to play, because he keeps chopping and changing, particularly this front line, is Liverpool have been a little fragile defensively, a little. But City have been frustrating in terms of their attacking game. Yeah, they beat Arsenal by five. Yeah, they beat Norwich, blah, blah, blah. But because of that lack of natural striker, it just feels at times that all their good play Man City, they're not getting their just rewards for it. And that could effectively be the difference in this game.
Yeah. Do you agree with Craig there, Nadim?
Possibly, but then another side of City, which is sort of going under the radar this year, is the fact they've only conceded one goal. I think defensively they do look good, and you know that seems to be the springboard for them, as was the case last year, you know, when they seemed to turn their fortunes around. But you know, they've got so many players on the field who are capable of scoring. But to go back to the original point about City being favourites, I don't get that either. And the reason I don't get it is because City have no successful history as such at Anfield. They won last year without the fan base being there, but before that, the last time was 2003. And when you think about some of the City sides that have been there and failed to get a result, you know, it just doesn't quite feel right. And it seems in some way it's a little bit of an overreaction based on the performance that they had against Chelsea last week, where they entered that game as slight underdogs, as crazy as that may be, but going to Anfield and Man City, so it's a totally different affair. I think, as you can see there, the teams maybe trade off results when it's home and away and so on, but Anfield is Liverpool's spot. If Klopp can sort of make the players feel like they're underdogs, you know, it riles them up. He gets the fans going, and they tend to perform really well against City there. So I don't quite get that, but it should make for a good game. And I think for City, the key difference is, based on the way they played against Chelsea and PSG, they were two sides where they insist upon building out from the back and going through midfield in a certain manner. But in Liverpool, if that's not working, they can be more direct. And I think that's going to be the big test for City, and it should make for a great game.
I think they, just to go off that point, I know what Nedim's saying, I think that's a league goals against. But they have lost five in the two Champions League games, three against Leipzig and two in Paris. And I think their fixture list has slightly skewed their domestic defensive stats so far because, yeah, they did keep a clean sheet at Chelsea when they completely dominated the game. But then Arsenal at home, Arsenal were absolutely shambolic at that point. Norwich are cannon fodder, as we know, and Southampton. And so that defence, which hasn't really seen John Stones in it, hasn't really been tested domestically, but it has been in Europe to some extent, and they have lost goals.
So you got that.
Now, in my opinion, Emerick Laporte, they may have only lost one goal domestically, but I don't know why, because I don't particularly rate him. I don't think he's a smart defender. I think he makes bad choices. And all you had to do was watch the game against Chelsea. Yes, Man City won the game. Yes, they dominated. But he was trying to play against Lukaku by trying to fight him. That's not a smart football player. You don't go and fight the giant. You don't fight the giant because there's only going to be one winner. And I think he made a bad decision against PSG. He should have gone out and closed the ball for the first goal, and he didn't. I think if you look at that defensively, and you also look going forward, I hope Raheem Sterling plays. Because Raheem Sterling, when there's been a crowd at Anfield, has never kicked a ball. Last year, he was probably man of the match, but it was an Anfield that had nobody there. This guy, when he goes to Anfield, bottles it. Can't perform, can't play, and hasn't yet played when there's been a crowd there. So you got one up one end problem with Sterling, which I hope is going to be. And I think you've got a problem with Port. I don't particularly like it.
I think for City, it's a chance to put a real marker down here. We know they wanted a striker and it was Kane and they didn't get the man. And there's a lot of questions, and it's some from me in this studio, about can they do it for a second year without, you know, a real quality number nine. I know Gabriel Jesus effectively is a number nine, but quite often he doesn't play or doesn't play in that position. But this is a chance for them to go back-to-back against the two other title rivals in Chelsea and Liverpool, and really put a marker down and say, well, you know, people are saying we're not going to be able to do it without Kane, but here we are dominating these two teams. I think this is going to be a more difficult one for them than the Chelsea game. The other interesting thing from the team selection is I'm intrigued to see if Jack Grealish plays, because I still think there's going to need to be a lot more to come from him if he's going to hold down a regular place over the course of a season. Because so far in the real big games, particularly in midweek at Paris, he got taken off. He was pretty ineffective. So Guardiola's team selection, which is always intriguing, I think is going to be so again on Sunday.
And Nedim, is it a case of a different story in the Premier League and the Champions League then?
Well, you know, there were a lot of points that were made there, and I was trying to take it all in. There were so many. But one thing I'd say, you know, if we talk about City's defence and say they've not really been tested, well, conceding three to Brentford should be spoken about as well for Liverpool, just for balance there. You know, the Premier League, it's not that easy. There's nothing that's guaranteed. And I think for City, and to a certain extent Liverpool, when they've been before that game because they'd only conceded one as well, it's not necessarily down to the individuals. It's the collective. And say City against Chelsea, so well from the front that some maybe issues at the back wouldn't really arise because the quality into the strikers wasn't there. And I think that sort of tends to be the same with Liverpool, where the front line are working as hard as they do. It makes it hard for the opposition as well. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. And like I get certain points that are being said and so on. But when Sunday comes, you know, we're going to see it. And as well, to talk about City in the nine, like, I'm having this realisation that for Liverpool, this last 3-4 years worth, key players have been not the nine. Like, Firmino's been a good link man, but they don't dine out on his goals. They dine out on Salah's goals and Mane's goals, because it's all about the forward line and the collective. And I think there are similarities, I feel, this year, and to a certain extent last year, in terms of, say, the way Liverpool do things, as is the way City do things. So, I don't know, I think for City, the nine is a concept, but unless it's the right person, then, because at the end of the day, I think if they really felt they needed Kane, I think they would have done everything to get him, but they didn't, so I guess they must be happy with what they've got.
Well, what we do know is none of these teams are taking a backward step, right?
No.
Come Sunday. It's not about, you know, I'm going to say Chelsea, where Tuchel called them timid. I think woeful is probably a better description of them, but he called them timid. I don't think none of these two teams play the timid game. You know, they try and play a clever game. Liverpool try and play a faster game, a more pressured, high-intensity game. But City try and play a slick passing game. And the team selection for Liverpool will be interesting. Do you think it will be Jota again, Steve?
I would play Firmino. Because I agree with you that this is going to be, one side's going to be trying to go that way as often as they can, and the other side's going to try to go that way as often as they can. So this is going to be a fast-paced game. And when you play a front three of Mane, Jota and Salah, I think they lose the ball between the three of them too often. I think if you get Firmino there, there will be some semblance of control and keeping the ball and not just gambling and maybe giving it away too often. So for that reason, for keeping the ball, I would go with Firmino.
Because Klopp said that he played a similar 11 into that game against Brentford, against Porto, to iron out those issues. Now, obviously, Trent Alexander-Arnold wasn't available to him. He was ruled out.
I agree with Ned. I mean, he didn't iron out the issues.
He didn't?
No. After the game against Brentford, when they lost three goals, I thought to myself, you know, I've been involved in games like that where it's just a one-off. But against Porto, they gave, in my opinion, as much as they deserved to win the game, they did win it comfortably. But I think there was far too many close calls in that Porto game to think that Klopp has sorted out his problem. So, again, yes, I was talking about Eric Laporte earlier, but I am by no means 100% sure that Liverpool's defence is locked tight either.
No. It's not.
All right.
Neither is that.
And because of that,
because of
you've
that.
All got high scoring predictions.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's look at your predictions then and what you've gone for. Stevie, you have still gone for a Liverpool win.
Yeah, I think the difference maker will be Salah, the one recognised goal scorer.
You shout at him every
field.
Week.
I do.
Every week you shout at him.
He drives me insane. He loses it 1 minute and sticks it in the top corner the next minute. It's crazy.
Yes.
But he's going to be the difference.
I've gone for the same as. Nedim and I have gone for a 2-2, and the reason I've gone for that is all the reason I've talked about, is there's some wonderful players on both sides, but I think both defensively have at times looked a bit shaky, particularly Liverpool, so I've gone for a 2-2.
Nedim, why did you go for a 2-2?
Just because this is one of those games between two big sides which just doesn't feel like it can be a tactical affair. So it's going to be end-to-end, it feels like, because, you know, that's just the way it's going to be, especially playing at Anfield with that crowd. So I'm expecting goals, high-pressure situations. And, you know, unlike Stevie, I'm hoping Salah... I think Salah is the most dangerous player on the field, but I hope he has an off day. So, yeah, I'm going to take the 2-2 and just hopefully leave Anfield and feel happy about that.
Hold on. Nenim, hold on. You've just been telling us how Man City's defence are rock solid. You got them losing two goals.
No. I said, hey, listen, it's two goals. It makes it three for the season out of seven games. That's not too bad, is it?
Well. We'll just forget the Champions League goals.
Just numbers.
All just numbers.
Should be a great game.
Lots more talk like this over on our YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe.
Oh, we got a YouTube
there.
Channel?
We do. Look
Amazing.
At your face on
Does
it
that
there.
Does that mean we get paid more?
Apparently you look like an 80s cop.
NFC. Yeah.
Who did say that? I think Shaka said it. Or was it you, Stevie? Somebody said it.
Somebody.
Anyway, ESPN FC available over on YouTube.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, here's a look at the rest of the Premier League games this weekend, but it's Saturday where Manchester United will be looking to bounce back from that loss to Villa when they take on Everton. And if you check out the notebook for ESPN.com, you'll see there's an article from Mark Ogden about Cristiano Ronaldo wanting United to get the ball to him quicker. We now welcome in Jan Agafyotov to talk about this, but we'll start with you, Craig. Is Ronaldo trying to dictate to Solskjaer how the team should play?
Well, Augie hates Man United, so we'll get that in anyway, just so you can get more hate on social media. Look, most experienced players talk to the coaches. So I don't know where this has come from or what he said, but most, particularly somebody of his ilk, you're going to talk to your coach and talk about little areas of where you can improve or how you can get better supply up to him. He's got 5 goals already, so it's been a great start. So I don't think he's trying to, if that's the case, I don't think he's trying to dictate anything. I think he's just maybe trying to help some of the players around to make United a more attacking threat. And you're laughing, Stevie. You know,
but I've never played with a centre-forward who didn't complain that he wasn't getting the ball quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single one of them was like, is there any chance you can look forward earlier? Every single one of them.
Yep.
Because they just will think, they think it's all about them. I'm going to get the goals, we're going to win games, but you've got to get me the ball, so get it quicker.
But yeah, and Solskjaer says he doesn't mind this. He wants Ronaldo's drive for the rest of the players. But drive's a different thing here. This is actually talking about some of the tactics and coaching, isn't it?
Well, I'm with Stevie on this one. I think every striker wants to get the ball up as quick as possible. And Teja said the same. He said that Ronaldo told him, get the ball quicker up to me. But I think what Cristiano Ronaldo do with this statement is that he's kind of giving him a bit fire or the criticism of Manchester United don't have a clear way of playing. And now with Cristiano Ronaldo there, and also that they can't get the best out of Jadon Sancho, people start thinking, you know, is there something with that lack of system, maybe lack of the way Manchester United are going to play? And I'm not sure that when we watch Manchester United, we are 100% sure how they want to play more than using the individual strength that they do have. And mind you, also Cristiano Ronaldo against Villarreal, he didn't have many touches on the ball. Of course, he had the vital one at the end. And I guess that is typical of a striker. He wants the ball quicker up and he wants a clearer passes straight up to them and not taking all these forward and back passes.
Now, with 5 goals in 5 games, they're obviously doing something right, aren't they, Nadim? For him?
Yeah, you would say that. You know, and he's been poaching goals in and stuff like that. But interestingly, I think when he talks like that, get it to me quicker, as the guys have said, you know, that's a very much a typical striker thing to say. But the fact is, like, he's not playing against mannequins, he's playing against an opposition. And maybe sometimes the ball doesn't get up there quickly because the opposition has taken maybe a bit of a backward step. And as a consequence, United have to move the ball around just that little bit more. But, you know, one thing's for sure, Ronaldo, he always scores goals, scores a ton of goals, and he keeps popping up in these key areas, in these key moments for Man United, which is obviously great to see for them. But like I say, to say get it to me quicker, listen, if you want to run channels, I'm sure people could get it to you quicker, but I don't think that's part of his game. So we just have to see how that goes and just let Solskjaer say what the team's going to do. And the
so
team
he's
got
not
there
challenging
and
the coach's authority?
No, everybody that watches this show knows where I stand on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as the manager. But I'm not having it that we're trying to dissect a manager here by finding some words and try to say, you know, he's undermining the manager. I don't buy that at all. Look, what Solskjaer needs as a United manager, and he's been getting this to some extent, he's been getting results, but he definitely hasn't been getting performances for the most part. And apart from a few Muppets online that can't see buy anything apart from results, most people know that the performances have not been great, and results have been, in some sense, a little bit lucky, like that Villarreal result because Villarreal were excellent and so was David De Gea. That was the big difference. The Mark Noble penalty miss. So he needs to get results, but he needs to also start getting performances because I don't think one continues to come without the other. I think getting results in that manner is a short-term solution. Without the performances, I don't see that having longevity.
Yeah, well, interestingly, after that Villarreal game, they spoke to Bruno Fernandes and asked him about penalties. And after
did he put
that
a statement out?
He did put a statement out. Well, he kind of spoke to BT Sport afterwards and he said, I was on penalties against Villarreal, but we didn't get one. However, the manager will decide before the game who takes it. Now, Ronaldo did play that game. Yeah, and you said last week that United wouldn't be getting any penalties anyway, so not to worry.
Yeah, but they had the referee heard that, so he made a double trick and he gave him a penalty. But having said that, I think that the way Bruno Fernandes, he should stop making statements now. He should just play the football game. I mean, if the market, the people he had around him, if they put out that statement, I think that was so embarrassing. And I don't think Bruno Fernandes did it himself. I think he should get on with his football game and play the game. And at the moment at Manchester United, I think that when you see Manchester United at the moment, it's not that they're winning the Champions League games. I think it's more the signal, the way they lost against Young Boys Bern. That gave Craig Burley right, because then you saw at the 1-0, they turned it around again. And then you have penalties like this. That could happen. But please, those kind of statements, keep them to yourself.
So what should he have said, Jan? What
well, should he
should
have said anything. And
he should have said anything.
What if someone says he was on the penalty?
He should not have said anything.
I wish Jan had been on the show the day that you discussed this, because I was off, and Stevie and Robbo just patted it to the side. Like it was embarrassing.
Oh,
it was embarrassing.
You sort of poo-pooed it. That's absolute garbage. No, we didn't do that at all. We both said that neither of us would do it if we were playing today.
So the statement after saying sorry.
We've moved on because nobody cares who takes the penalties.
I thought you meant the statement of him saying after Villarreal, I was on the penalties.
No.
The coach will pick me for.
Jan's talking about the statement where he apologises. I believe after missing the penalty, when he should just have kept his mouth shut because it's part of the game and nobody blames him for missing a penalty.
But all his teammates supported him.
Yeah, but that's that sums it up.
They have to.
And then we sat in this studio and went, isn't this lovely?
Nathan, what did you make of it all?
Listen, where are we going when they are putting out statements to excuse us and apologise to missing penalties? And the other players give them hearts. They put like heart signs on Instagram. It's terrible.
Yes, Jan.
Nathan, what did you make of it all?
Listen, I would never do it, but it's the modern game, and you can see it for years now. People, they talk about, they do their own commentary in the build-up to games. So when they say something before a game, they feel they have to say something after the game. And it's just not, it's not for me at all. If that's what brings him closure and that's what United want to do and all that, like, leave him to it, but I won't be double-tapping that. No way.
But may I just say, the problem with Manchester United doing that, a statement from a Manchester United players, is that sometimes you get a feeling that Manchester United are more aware of being number one at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all those kind of things. That was also the thing that they're buying into. I don't want to hear Bruno Fernandes do an apology. I just get on with it, take the next penalty, miss it, do whatever you want. But please.
Who takes the penalties at the weekend? Fernandes or Ronaldo, Jan?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, how can that be? Who's taking the penalties?
No, but how can that be?
It's whoever the manager decides.
How can that be if he's told us already he was on the penalties at Villarreal?
But he did. So why would he? However, the manager will decide before the game who takes it.
If he's taking the penalties against Villarreal, what possible reason would he not be taking the next penalty that they get?
Because the manager's
on the field.
The manager's decided that he wants Cristiano Ronaldo to take the penalties
before the game.
No. Yeah, but you don't, as a coach, you're not just
branding.
Waking it up and tossing a coin and going, OK, today it's Ronaldo. If you've given him the responsibility on the Wednesday night to take a penalty when they're both on the field, there is no reason why you turn around on Saturday and go, oh, by the way, I've changed my mind. I want you taking it. That doesn't happen. That makes no sense whatsoever. Coaches actually think about decisions. They don't just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and change their mind.
Nadim?
No, I agree. It's weird. If someone's the penalty taker, they're the penalty taker. Like, why should you have to make that call before every game? Like, what feels different today to how you felt on Wednesday? Like, where does that come from? And also, going into a game, that like, you're expecting a penalty kick. Like, that's not a normal thing. You don't get 38 penalties in a league season. It just doesn't, for me, it doesn't add up at all.
But let's take it with a modern game, and it was a, that is a key word here, the modern game. And okay, I understand what Steve is coming from when he's saying that by Wednesday going into the weekend. But for the brand Manchester United, what's more important, that Cristiano Ronaldo scored 32 goals, then Fernandes scored 15, included 7 penalties. They will end up giving the penalties to Cristiano Ronaldo because they need a big goal getter. And Cristiano Ronaldo has come to Manchester United to score loads of goals. And at the end of the season, they don't count penalties or whatever. So he will get a penalty soon. They just need this transformation period. And they started with not hitting a goal, Bruno Fernandes, on that penalty.
And maybe Manchester United will be getting more penalties, Jan. And you'll have to eat more of your words.
They get loads, they do. Oh, seriously.
We get loads of questions for you guys as well on Extra Time, so make sure to go to YouTube and check it out every single day.
There's a lot of stripes going on there in Shaka, aren't
there? Lots of stripes. Lots of chats as well. Some strange chats on the last edition. Check it out on YouTube. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com. Big weekend ahead in La Liga, big game ahead. Atleti taking on Barcelona and Espanyol against Real Madrid. All of these games will be available on ESPN Plus as we take a look at the schedule of everything that you'll be able to see here this weekend. But as I mentioned, the big one, Atleti taking on Barcelona. And ahead of it, our Martin Einstein attended a La Liga Legends event where he caught up with Steve McManaman and Luis Garcia to preview the match.
Thank you very much. I bump into these two guys, Steve, Luis. What are you doing here?
What are we doing here, Luis?
I don't know.
Dressed in the same clothes. Why are we here?
You don't know.
This is a La Liga gala, and it's great to have you guys.
Yes.
It's a very important weekend in La Liga because two of the theoretically contenders of the championship are going to play against each other, Atletico de Madrid and Barcelona. Usually, we will say that Barcelona was the favorite in a game like this, but what do you think about the situation right now for these two teams?
Could I first say we were told to wear this outfit? We are all looking the same, just in case people are looking at us thinking, why have they come dressed
up? You know what, Steve?
There is a La Liga ambassadors. Yeah, there is a uniform. Mine fits me a
little
bit.
It's a new ambassador mine coming today.
Mine fits me better than Luis.
Really?
But,
yeah.
No, so as for Barcelona and Atletico Madrid, I've watched Barcelona a couple of times this year, of course, with ESPN. And first game of the season against Real Sociedad, I thought they were okay. I thought they were impressive enough. Levante, I thought they were okay. But then I watched them midweek against Benfica in the Champions League, and they were awful. I don't mind the Bayern Munich defeat, because Bayern Munich are a very good team, but they were really worrying against Benfica. The decision-making, the fact that, you know, they had a lot of experienced internationals on the bench, World Cup winners on the bench, yet he chose not to choose them. So Luis may know more than me whether there's a lot of internal problems going on that we still don't know about. We know that they're in debt, of course. We know that they've had to slash the budget. But his selection of players the other day against Benfica, and he had a lot of young players on, which actually worried me a bit, because I felt sorry for the young players, because they didn't need to be there in... They didn't have need to have five or six players on in a heavy defeat away from home. So, many problems. Atletico Madrid will just do their business, of course. They scored a lot of late goals recently. Luis Suarez, Antoine Griezmann scored midweek. But they lost last week to Alaves. So, they've got their own problems as well.
What's your take on that, please?
Definitely agree with Maga, because I know... That is a big issue around Barcelona. We know from the beginning of the competition that they were going to struggle because of the financial problems, because they have to release or let go the best player in the history of football, Lionel Messi, after Griezmann, then the injuries of Dembele, Alba, Sergio Aguero, so very important players who didn't have the chance of play at the moment, so the squad is getting down and down. And now, at the moment, with the young players, that is the only positive thing that I see at the moment. Because when it's a crisis, there is always something positive that you can take from that. And I think at the moment is to see Gavi and Nico, for example, two very young lads that they are trying their best, that they are getting experience, that they do a good job when they've been on the field. But of course, it's a lot of pressure that they have to handle, and it's not easy. The other day against Benfica, I think that they start well, even though that they concede the goal, but the reaction was good. That's okay. But in the second half, it was quite a big mess. I mean, players out of position. I think that the Jon in the middle was the best player in the first half with those diagonals inside the ball. He was the most dangerous player on the field with the Memphis the pace. And then when he dragged back because of Piqué's yellow card or the decision of taking him out of the game, I think it was very difficult. And now at the moment, you don't know what is going to happen, because Ronald Koeman has been showing that you never know if they're going to play three at the back, if they're going to play four, if they're going to play three in the middle, two up front. So many doubts around the team, so many doubts about the 11. So that's something that when you are not confident to play, is not something that is going to help. So I think it's going to be a very difficult game, but you know, derbies are, clasicos are very special. And this Atletico Madrid against Barcelona is a very special game. Anything can happen.
For Atletico, it's always, they're like to play the underdog, right? They like to have that feeling of, we're never candidates. We're not in the fight. But right now, because of the squad they have, because of the signing they've made,
because they are the winners,
they should be, right?
They're the champions.
Yeah.
No, they are. Listen, they are big favourites going into this game. I think it was apt when we looked at the Champions League midweek, where Griezmann, Suarez both scored against AC Milan. Leo, of course, scored against Manchester City, and Luke de Jong for Barcelona must have had seven touches in the whole game. And it shows you that how far Barcelona have struggled. But yes, Atletico Madrid are big favourites for this game. They don't like to say that. The way they play mightn't dictate that. But they're certainly favourites. They are the champions, of course they are. And rightly so.
Message is always like the game by game. We don't want the spotlight. Because that's pressure for the players. And Simeone knows very well how to move that on the side. So at the moment, yeah, they are the favourites. They are going to be the favourites for the championship. But there is a lot. The competition now in La Liga is very competitive. It's very difficult to win against Alaves, against... it doesn't matter what team. Always difficult to get the 3 points.
For Atletico, what is Simeone doing to make players like Griezmann or Luis Suarez work? I mean, before coming to Atletico, there was a sensation of these players were reaching a point of their career where they were going down. And now they have a different air, a different, you know.
Yeah, but Luis Suarez, I don't think, was ever going to come into that equation. You know, he's a hard worker. You know, he will run for 90 plus minutes. You know, he's going to try. He should, in an ideal world, he should still be at Barcelona. Of course, he should. Like the three of them should be working their magic. But I don't think it's necessarily hard for Simeone. I mean, Luis might tell you something different about Griezmann. I don't really know him, but knowing Suarez from Liverpool and knowing the character he is, I don't think it was... I think it was the easiest decision in the world for Atletico Madrid to say, we will take Luis Suarez.
He's a goal scorer.
Exactly.
Machine.
And he will keep on scoring goals, and he'll score goals this year if he stays fit, of course. Last year, he was their saviour. This year, he scored really important goals, and he will keep scoring goals.
Yeah, because probably normally when you grow up and you get more years, your speed goes down a little bit, but the smell of blood that Luis Suarez got never going to disappear, and he's going to be there. Maybe you have to rest him a little bit. That's what Simeone is doing. That's why he brought Kuna, to try to replace him sometimes, give him some rest, because he knows that he cannot play 40 games, 50 games a year. But now I'm going to use him in the right moments, in the right situation. So Simeone knows how to deal with that. He's continued growing his squad in every single position, so he can rotate. Champions League, Copa del Rey, La Liga. Now he can rotate. Even international breaks, now they are even very tough, because they have to make very long travel. So now Simeone is doing a great job, and that's why he's squeezing every single player.
Guys, thank you very much for these commentaries. And please, next time, tell me what the dress code is. I mean, I feel like out of context here.
La Liga is always
blue. I didn't know you were going to a funeral after here.
Back to you, guys.
Pro Martin, thanks so much, guys. Well, a lot of talk about who the next Barcelona manager will be. Everybody thinking that perhaps Ronald Koeman would be out this week. He does stay in the job so far. Roberto Martinez at the top of that list, followed by Xavi. It goes all the way down to Andrea Pirlo, who has also been mentioned. And even though Koeman is suspended for the game this weekend, he still did take the pre-match press conference. In it, he was asked his best and worst moments at Barcelona so far. And he said, do I have to answer this? It's as if I'm already gone. The best moment was definitely signing the contract to become the Barca coach. The worst was Lionel Messi's departure. Well, another man who was at the La Liga Legends event is his compatriot Patrick Kluivert, and he did have some words of support for Koeman.
Talking about the way Barcelona is right now with the institutional crisis, how do you see the club at this moment?
Yeah, it's difficult to see the situation now in the club. But the most important thing is to get out of this situation as quick as possible. Everybody knows that it's not that easy. And yeah, for sure you play against Atletico Madrid tomorrow. And you know, you need to search for a good result, because the result is the most important thing. We can talk, but talking it doesn't work. It needs to come with the facts. So the facts need to translate in victories. That's the most important thing.
How tough is it for a coach like Ronald to be in the middle of this sea that is moving all the time?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I can understand the situation is very difficult as a coach. And if the results are not the way they need to be, well, the coach is the first person who's getting judged, and you know, not always it's valid to put all the blame to the coach.
Will it be fair to sack him?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the solution at this moment, because it takes also a cost with sacking a coach at the moment, and then you have to bring another one. So it's a double problem, you know. So I would suggest is to leave him in his position.
Well, you wonder what will happen this weekend. We will have full coverage of it for you. Join us at 2:30. Dan Thomas will be joined by Ali Moreno and Pablo Zabaleta to look ahead to this game. Friday night La Liga action got underway with Athletic Bilbao taking on Alaves. Alaves, who just beat Atleti last time out. Corner kick, Athletic here, were given a penalty. Danny Vivian seemingly going up, but the ball seemed to hit the defender. The referee goes to VAR, and the decision is it would be a penalty kick for Athletic Club. But Raul Garcia had his effort saved by Fernando Pacheco. He did make up for it later, though. Here he is with a header. This was the only goal of the game. Athletic Club holding on to that win, 1-0 it finished, and they take all 3 points. So one game done, more to go, and this is how the table is shaping up after the first rounds that have been played in La Liga. Real Madrid at the top of the table, and despite Barcelona's problems, they are only 5 points behind them, and they do have a game in hand. So this game at the weekend could make things very interesting at the top of the table in La Liga. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
These are how the standings are looking for the rest of the league after the first six games played. Probably no surprise to many of you that Bayern Munich are sitting at the top right now, 3 points clear. Jan Agafyosov, let's talk about what's coming up then this weekend. Borussia Dortmund are taking on Augsburg. Remember that Haaland, on his debut in the Bundesliga, got that hat-trick against Augsburg back in January 2020, but he's not available this week. Will you even be watching?
No. Well, I'm going to Dortmund. I'm sitting in Düsseldorf now. I'm going there tomorrow. But as you said, he's out injured. He got an injury before the Gladbach game last round. And then they thought he would be fit again for the Champions League. Didn't happen. And now he's not playing tomorrow either, which means that he can't play for Norway against Turkey and Montenegro. Very, very decisive qualification games for us. So we are turning into depression now in Norway. And there was, of course, the big, big headlines today that Erling is out for the games. And, that is a blow for us because we don't have a lot of hopes, but he was one of our main hopes, of course.
Who'll replace him, Jan, then?
Well, Alexander Sørloth, we're talking in Norway. We're talking Alexander Sørloth is injured too, so we couldn't end up with Joshua King, who plays in England. As it is for Dortmund, Malen, who came from Dutch football, he scored his first goal in the Champions League, so he could play up front. Or they can do the old trick that they sometimes do, or that they used to do in Dortmund, and play these small players up front. I'm saying small, like Brandt or Royce or Hazard, play them up front. They're playing Augsburg tomorrow. Augsburg is struggling big time, so I think they'll be okay tomorrow. And I think seeing it from Dortmund's point of view, they are happy that they're coming up an international break now, so they can get him 100% fit. They said his injury will take 2 or 3 weeks, and now he's gone 1 week. So sad for Norway, but I guess that is good for Dortmund to get him 100% fit when the Bundesliga starts again.
Now, meanwhile, Leipzig are taking on Bochum. They have got to win this one, haven't they?
Oh, they do. We're winning 6-0 just in March, and everybody was happy, and he played up his credit going into the Champions League. And then they're losing against Brugge, as we say, at home, which was terrible for them. And Jesse March needs to produce. I mean, there's a lot of Ragnik, who is a football professor and the head teacher of all Red Bull things, although he's not there anymore. He said they should never have let Nagelsmann go to Bayern Munich, and he was a supporter of Jesse March. So I think the only way you can stop Leipzig and stop Jesse March being in the headlines all the time is to win football games and play Bochum at home. That should be easy. Having said that, if you can't win that game, it always start all over again.
I know you'll have a close eye on Bayern taking on Eintracht Frankfurt. Julian Nagelsmann will be forced to make a few changes, though, here. What can we expect?
Well, first of all, the last time Frankfurt won in Munich, that one time in 40 years, there was a very good-looking, grey-haired, long-haired Norwegian who scored a winner. So I got good memories from this. I think it was Jan or something.
Right,
but,
right.
But it's an interesting going to Bayern, because Bayern, they look fantastic at the moment, and they said that there was no depth in their squad, but they've been flying since Nagelsmann came there, and it's interesting for Frankfurt now winning in Antwerp, but that was the first win of Coach Glasner. But still, going to Allianz Arena, should you go there not to only lose 3-0, or should you try to win and lose 7? And so there's some interesting challenging going to Bayern, because Bayern Munich with Leroy Sané, with Gnabry, with Müller, with Lewandowski, they look formidable. Formidable, yes. Well, that was a good word.
Yeah, formidable. Yeah, Leroy Sané looking a lot better as the season goes on. Jan, it's been great to get your insight, as always, on the Bundesliga.
Pleasure.
Thanks for joining us here on ESPN FC. Let's get you caught up on some championship action that took place on Friday in Stoke against West Brom. We'll take it.
He's a big lad, isn't he?
Isn't it? Big lad. That's how it is in the championship. Penalty for Stoke here.
Oh, that's not penalty kick.
Surridge taking it.
That's not penalty. Karma.
Saved.
Good save, eh?
Aye.
79th, oh, though, goalie. Nick Powell.
There's always a goalie involved. I mean, of course there is. It? Always a daft goalie.
Right.
Somebody coming out where they shouldn't be. Look, no need.
Complete no man's land.
Yep.
You're not getting there, you've got to stay.
And that's how it would end. 3 points to Stoke with a 1-0 win. He's a lock at the top of the championship table.
Still no sign of Middlesbrough? No.
No.
Listen,
where is Middlesbrough?
They actually got a win on ESPN Plus the other day, which never happens when they're on the televised game. So maybe things are turning around.
Was that at home?
Can't remember now.
Yeah, I just wonder how the team knows how to get there, because I have no idea where it is.
Anyway, West Brom didn't hurt them too much, did it? Right now, still top of the table as it stands, but could change after the weekend's over. Coventry taking on Fulham and Cardiff City against Reading are the games that you can enjoy this weekend, so you won't be subjected to any Middlesbrough fun. Upcoming MLS schedule for you, Saturday through Sunday. Lots to look out for there. All of those games available on ESPN+. And that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN.
That'll do it.
That will do it.
As good as it's going to get today, I'm afraid.
As good as it's going to get. Craig is off to make a statement online, on social.
Get on my mates. I'll help you. Got any tip.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry for what I said. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Craig Burley, we have Stevie Nicol and Nadim Anua. And just to let you all know, we had a 36-minute edition of Extra Time last night.
Well, I can
36 minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can officially tell you we won't be having it. We'll be suitably under that today.
My tea will be burnt. I've got my tea in the oven.
No records.
I mean, the chances of us getting more than 3.6 minutes today is doubtful.
All right. Well, those of you watching
at home... You said it was weird.
It was a bit weird.
Was it weird people it was on?
It was just some conversations took a strange turn.
Right. You can answer the questions.
Yes. I'm taking up time, maybe at home, they're having bets on how long Extra Time is going to last.
That, yeah.
Like the best man's speech. Yeah. All right.
There's a door over there, I'll just be walking out.
That must be about a minute we've already taken up, right? Just 35 more to go. All right, Nadim. Pep Guardiola was brought in to win the Champions League for Man City. Do you think his tenure will be seen as a failure if he fails to deliver it this season, considering it might be his last?
No, I don't think so. I think he'll be disappointed. I think City will be disappointed. But then they've also won a ton of Premier League titles. And they've played some of the best football that, say, essentially all the Man City fan base has ever seen before. So I don't think I'd class it as just like a complete failure. But, you know, within that, you would have thought maybe they would have done it. But, you know, the whole, if they would have won it once and then never won a Premier League, would that be a failure? See, it's just about perspective. And I think overall, I think he's done a great job. And now they're always in with a chance at the start of every single season. So credit to him, because I think he's a success.
Do you think there will be those who would say that if he doesn't?
Oh, there's always
one.
There's always going to be people that say stupid stuff like that, because they don't really. I really don't get what's happening. I mean, he didn't win the Champions League at Bayern Munich, but they still had great success. his tenure at Man City, for me, if they don't win the Champions League, will be seen as he hasn't fit. He's failed to win that trophy. He's failed in his objective to win that trophy, but he hasn't failed in his job at Man City, because I totally agree with Nedim. They've had, I mean, at one point they were mopping up every domestic trophy, including the Carabao Cup, which they've taken somewhat serious, and they've won it, I think, last 4 years in a row. They've scooped FA Cups and league titles, and they've played some great stuff. But it'll be more of a frustration that those two clubs, Bayern and City, if he hasn't done it.
Who do you bring in if you sack him?
Good luck, eh?
Well, good luck, exactly. So that's why you don't sack him.
All right. Nedim, is Bernardo Silva one of the most underrated players in the world?
The world?
I think within this Man City side, maybe, yes, he gets spoken about less than others, but... You know, the fact that he's being put in the side ahead of other people just shows that, you know, within the people that matter the most in terms of who select the team, then he is trusted. You know, he's a key player for City. He's been there for a good few years now, and he makes a huge impact. And it's not just in a way which we'd expect to see, like against Chelsea last weekend. Some of the defensive stuff was incredible, as well as the stuff he was doing in attack and just the sort of character and personality to get on the ball and make the right decisions. So I'd say in some ways, perhaps he is underrated, but that's purely because he's playing alongside someone like a Kevin De Bruyne and other world-class players within there. But, you know, for people who know, who watch the game properly, you know he's a top player, guaranteed.
So he's not underrated?
No.
No?
I'd like to see more goals from him, that's the only thing. But generally, his all-round game is pretty good.
Not bad.
I'd say pretty good.
I'll get you all on this, but I'll start with you, Nedim, because they ask, which current Liverpool player can easily walk into the current Man City team? The starting 11.
That's easy.
Yep.
That's easy peasy.
Van Dijk. Virgil van Dijk. And then maybe Mo Salah. They'd be the two that I'd say.
Maybe. Hold on a second. Why would you mean maybe? This is a team that's crying out for score goals. Somebody that can consistently put the ball in the back of the net.
But he doesn't
the
play through the middle. He doesn't play through the middle, Stevie.
Who cares?
Doesn't play through
that's
the middle,
not the
Stevie.
Point.
That's all people
that's
are
not...
saying. That's all people are saying.
But see that's... And I don't... people have got the blinkers on saying they need a centre-forward... A goal-scoring centre-forward has to be a number nine. Well, that's... I've never said that. Liverpool is a great example of you don't need to have a number nine who's your goal-scorer. And Firmino, before the pandemic, was that man. He was the number nine. He was the guy that hadn't scored at Anfield for goodness knows how long. But because you've got a goal-scorer in Salah, then it's OK. But you cannot turn around and say you wouldn't right now put Salah in City's team.
I tell you what,
100% you would.
Would you not throw Andy Robertson's name in there? Bearing in mind they have some issues at left back.
Absolutely. Zinchenko, Mendy,
Cancelo plays there. Cancelo's a very good player, but he's not essentially a left back.
None of the three of them can defend like Robertson.
We should have got you all to do a combined 11, shouldn't we?
No, we don't do that.
No, we don't.
All right. Craig, do you see any new striker inclusion for Man City this January? A new striker coming in January.
They definitely need a goal-scoring centre-forward, don't they? If ever a team needed one.
No, I don't. I don't see them, because they're dining at the big boys' table. And so, therefore, they're chasing the creme de la creme, and they're generally not available in January transfer window. So no, I don't see City doing anything till next summer now.
Oh, I like this next one.
Unless they know they're not getting Haaland. I'd have to think that Haaland and his dad and the agent have a preferred destination.
Yep.
And if City even think there's just no way they're getting them, then maybe they should move then.
For who?
For a Harry Kane. Come Christmas, Tottenham will be languishing at least in the middle, maybe below the middle of the table. And if you're Daniel Levy, you're like, you know what, we might still get 100 and something for them. We need to do something. Take the money.
All I want for Christmas is a hurricane.
Well, if I'm City, if I'm going back in for a striker in January, I'm not going back in with the same amount I did. So, I don't know. I don't think so.
You doubt it'll happen?
You never know.
What's the silliest red card that you've got? I'll ask you all of this. I'll start with you, Nadim.
Red card that I received? There was one once where, get on this, you might be surprised to hear this one, but I was pulling on somebody's shoulder in attack, and I was free, so I was begging for the ball to be played, and the ball got played to me, good ball, and I took one of the heaviest first touches in the history of professional football, and from there, I've ended up having to like slide in a little bit on the keeper, and I've tried to dink it over him. And I've messed up and I've like retracted my leg and, you know, there was a collision, but it wasn't a tackle or anything. And I'm on the floor thinking, oh my God, what a bad touch, what a bad miss. I might never score a goal in my career ever. And then I stand up and the referee comes over and shows me a red card. And it was one of the weirdest moments ever because I was just disappointed that I didn't score. And then the next thing, I was walking off the field and it got rescinded the next day. But again, like I just thought, what a horrible first touch and what bad things can happen when you don't have a clue what you're doing.
How many did you actually get when you said, oh, which one? How many red cards did you get?
Well, I've actually had one at Anfield, to be honest with you. But I think I had three, possibly four. I think it's three.
Right.
Maybe. How many did you get?
Never got one.
Never got one.
Never went off one. His feet, Stevie.
Nope. Stay on your feet.
Stay at that.
Don't overkill.
You never had a red card?
Nope.
You must never have committed to a challenge.
No. I never missed a game through suspension either.
So you never missed time to tackle in your life?
I didn't say that. You said I never got sent off.
That's amazing.
I know.
And it's amazing that you never missed a game with suspension.
No.
Is that why you got annoyed at Ramos? And all those...
Well, that's partly it, yeah. Yeah, I think part of being...
Sitting on your high horse.
..a good player is... not picking up record numbers of red and yellow cards. That's called using your brain.
OK, I've saved you to last for a reason. I'm very interested in the
answer.
Why,
I didn't...
This.
Do you think I got a lot of red cards?
No, I don't think you got a lot of red cards.
I got a lot of yellow cards.
I'm interested in what would have been the silliest red card you ever received.
I only got two. One was right at the end of my career when I went to Dundee for a short period and I couldn't run. One was when... The other one was at the World Cup. When, not that I could run, but I was a little less slow. And that would be the silliest one at the World Cup in St Etienne. God, I hate St Etienne. Against Morocco, when I just stupidly lost the head and kicked the Moroccan lad and got a straight red in the World Cup final grip match, which was rather stupid.
Is it really true, though, about the red mist? Is that it? You just passed
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know. The game was going against us. I think we were 2-0 down, we weren't playing well. We had a chance to go through, the winners of this match were going to go through and we were having a horrendous time.
What time in the game was it?
About 60-something minutes. Yeah. Just had enough time, but I didn't want the tea from half-time to get cold.
Aye. Yeah, that would probably do it.
So I thought, got to time this right, get in for a hot cup. So aye, yeah, that was... but, you know... People always say to me, do you regret that? And I'm like, listen, you go through life. Things happen.
Well, it's a nice anecdote for today's extra time.
Is it?
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't qualify. And we got hammered in the newspaper. You know what the headline was? Morocco 3, Morons 0. That was the back page of one of the Scottish tabloids.
Oh, wow.
They couldn't wait. The Scottish press couldn't wait. Every time you lost a game... They couldn't wait to get after the players, man. It was terrible, honest to God. Honestly.
Build you up to knock you down.
We used to get a bit of a pasting, yeah.
I have a feeling this next one is to annoy you a little bit, Craig.
All right, if it's annoying me, I'm
guessing...
It's only a light little annoying.
It's a Man United question.
It's a Man United question, but it's a player addressed by just his first name.
OK.
All right. Stevie.
You can see why yesterday's extra time was slow, by the way.
Stevie/Craig, what's your views on Donny? Will he push to leave or will Solskjaer give him the minutes that will convince him to stay?
Well, I've got to tell you, I don't have a view on him because I haven't seen that much of him.
Trust me, he's just going to fill some gaps in, well, I was going to say the Carabao Cup, but they're out of that competition. No, he's not. The manager does not fancy him. That's clear.
He needs to go and play.
Crystal.
Stevie, do you think Pirlo is the manager that Barcelona needs?
What, off the back of what?
Apparently he's Why? Very liked by Laporta.
What is he like? Good company or something? I mean, what...
That was
what,
a good wine.
What does Pirlo... No offence to Pirlo, but what... What has he done to make anybody think he could walk into Barcelona and do a good job? And the answer to that is...
Not much.
No. Well, what? Nothing. And done anything. Took over a team that won 9 straight domestic titles and turned into a bit of a shambles.
All right, lastly, Craig, would you rather read Frank's book, Teached on Maths, or listen to the Gab and Jules podcast?
Whoa, that's a what? Tough one, isn't it?
You can all answer this.
What's,
so Craig.
What is Frank's book about again?
That's himself.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. And is it one of those, what do you call the books that...
Not Believe in Yourself.
But what's the books called that you can audio listen bio. To?
Oh, no. Oh, audio books.
Audios.
It has to be an audio book, because Frank has to hear himself talk.
We asked him if he'd do it in English, and he's...
So, Frank's
plans.
Book, Teaching Don Maths, which is probably an impossibility, or Listen to the Gab and Jules. Well, I'm not doing that.
What?
I'm not listening.
Have you ever been on it?
No, I've never been on it. And they know not to ask, my boss. Because you know what the answer will be.
This is this question? Do you call this Hobbs?
I would rather teach Don maths.
Okay.
Because I could have some fun with that.
Right.
The other
Starting
two.
With percentages.
That's what I'd rather do.
Would you call this question Hobson's choice, where there's not a good answer?
Well, what would be your answer?
But teaching Don's maths, I think, would be there would be a novelty about that.
It'd be interesting to see his face when he.
Yeah. Because Don makes you laugh when he doesn't think he's making you laugh.
Yeah, go for. I'll do the same. Go for Don, teaching Don math.
Nadim, you're often on the Gab and Jules podcast. Would you prefer to read Frank's book or teach Don math?
Yeah, no, this is a bit awkward.
Yeah.
I think it would be easier to learn French to read Frank's book than it would be to teach Don maths. So I'm going to have to say Frank's book.
Yeah. We'll let him know when he's next on that you
Don's,
said that.
Don's mathematical prudence has travelled, hasn't it?
Yes, yes, it's well known now. And in fact, I think it comes up on every extra time, so no doubt it'll come up on tomorrow's too.
He's comfortable with it.
He is. Well, if you're watching, Don, we love you. And you know, it's fine, even without your maths. Anyway, thanks for joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time. Don't forget, ESPN FC is available 7 days a week.